For March the 31st, 2017, we talk about all kinds of game remake news, Blaster Master Zero, and we ask you which game worlds you would be stuck in. Welcome to Level 190. My name is Cole Ross.
I'm Dennis Furia.
I'm Jell Apprentice.
And I'm Ben Merkel.
And you're listening to The Level. It's a podcast for people who love video games. Thank you so much to all of you for joining me here for the show. Excited. It feels like it's been a while since we did the show, but we did one last week. I don't know if that's because I got a Switch, and therefore I fulfilled a lot of...
Yeah. Who did you kill?
Yes, everybody know. Switches operate like tontines. No, this was like last Friday. I was stepping out for lunch. A fan tweeted at me saying, "Hey, they're in stock on Amazon." I think that I pulled straight across four lanes of traffic to get into a parking lot and place my order, but it showed up less than 24 hours later. So I've got my Switch, and I'm going to talk about some Switch games.
All right, congrats. You mean Switch game, right?
No.
I heard they just made one. It was called Breath of the Wild.
Yeah, no, there's more.
Really?
Yeah.
Why?
Because Breath of the Wild is not a game that takes infinite time to play.
Only about 150 hours if you see what Allison did.
Yeah, but that's how she does.
Yeah, that is how she does, isn't it?
Yeah.
I just had to drop that in there because it just astounds me.
Yeah,
it's one thing, you got to do the quick math to just make sure there are that many hours between release and the time that it happened.
Yeah, well, there's definitely more hours or fewer workable gaming hours than I would have put in or been able to put in between now and then. But we all have different tolerances. Mm-hmm. We all have different. I mean, she is the person who beat Resident Evil 7 in one sitting, I think.
Yep.
Or one session, not one sitting. I don't think she got bed sores or anything, but
that Resident Evil 7 is a fairly short game, right?
It's like she told me it was like 8 hours. It is what it took her.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
She's also very efficient. It took me 10 hours to beat that thing. So yeah.
Also, I just have to say we're recording this the day that the new Dark Souls DLC releases.
Yes.
And this is Twitter like saltier than I've ever seen it before.
Yeah.
Like there were election days that weren't this salty on Twitter.
So that's my secret. I don't go on Twitter. I'm always angry and I don't go on Twitter. So everything is kind of weird and fucked up. This is not, so Krusty's not here. And people who are curious to hear what the Bonfireside chat take is on that, if you're looking for scraps on it, that episode, that series is going to come a little bit later in April. Actually, we have other stuff slotted in before that. We want to actually give it time. I played about 3 hours of it today. I've got opinions, and lots of people on Twitter have opinions. And it depends too, because if you look at Reddit, everybody's hopping all over its dick saying it's the best thing ever. Huh. Specifically praising some of the decisions they make that I do not like, which makes me feel even more convinced that series and I are moving in different directions. Today is their release. I think Allison has beaten it, if Slack is to be believed.
I saw her tweeting about the final boss, or what she thought was the final boss. So
yeah, who knows? Who knows when another boss is waiting right behind another boss? When another boss is waiting behind one of those bosses, even within the same fight. So
yeah. I was gonna say, or another phase of that boss.
Yeah. Not good, guys.
Anyway, well, sorry, I just had to throw that in there just as a on my mind every time I open Twitter, it's like, no, close it real quick. Oh geez. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. I stay in Slack. It's warm in there. It's not cold. You're not going to be torn apart.
It is. Slack is a much better place.
Yeah. How about everybody else? Any banterables happening?
Dennis had a thing. Yeah. Dennis, tell us about your thing.
Oh, from workouts today or a different thing?
you finished your CrossFit gay open
thing. Yeah, I did. I finished the CrossFit open, survived it. I am proud to say that in the last workout, I got the same number of reps as the first place finisher.
Oh, wow.
No, that's because the workout was task priority and not time priority. So everyone did the same number of reps. I did it probably in about three times the amount of time that it took the fastest person. So, but I can brag in the future that I had the same, same amount of reps as all the elites. That was a ton of fun. I did, you know, do some things that I didn't know I could do. I lifted some weights that were heavier than I thought I could do. So that's, they designed the CrossFit Open to be kind of accessible to anyone and to kind of find your own personal limit and then push it. And that definitely happened. So I'm very happy with it.
Congratulations.
Yeah.
Yay.
Yeah. Ton of fun.
Jala, how about you? Any notable things over the past week?
I just want to remind everybody that I'm less than a month out from my superhero run where I'm dressing as Ms. Marvel, the Kamala Khan version, and raising money to fight sex trafficking. There is a donation link pinned to the top of my Twitter, @Jalachan. The race is on April 22nd, so you can still donate if you would like to, which I would like you to if you can.
Yeah.
The end.
Go and do it, dummies.
Don't call them names.
No, it's affectionate.
People can't sometimes.
You make a very good point. I was obviously being a goof.
Go do it, sillies.
Yeah. Go do it if you can. Go do it if you can. So it's a very good cause.
Yeah.
Yeah, Ben, how about you? Anything over the past week?
So I found out just in this last minute that I won a t-shirt from the Duck Spring contest.
Oh yeah?
But then I also had another epiphany that I have a lot of the t-shirts on the Duffy Network. So we'll see how that goes. But yeah, I don't know if I have banterable stuff. I have been playing more Magic, but I'll probably talk about that later. But yeah.
Cool. Well, banter achieved in a record amount of time, I think. I think that we're all champing at the bit. I know I'm excited to talk about a little bit of Zelda, not a tremendous amount, but also some other stuff on Switch, which you might be interested in, if you even believe it exists.
Yeah, you are our first foray into Switch, if I'm remembering correctly, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, cool. I am indeed. Yeah. So let us get started with the usual kind of show, the brief, the multiplayer, and the grind. And let's get started with
The Brief,
where we talk about things that are happening in the world of video games. I accidentally said get started twice. I don't feel great about that, but that's where we're at. Let's see who wants to go right ahead with their first story.
I got a teensy one.
Go.
Yay!
They're porting Red Dead Redemption over to Grand Theft Auto 5 engine, and by they I mean six people. So who are not affiliated with Rockstar at all, but they released, I think, three screenshots of the game. They're calling it Red Dead Redemption 5. The environment looks really cool because it's like a lot of the canyon outdoor stuff. And then they had also screenshots of the interiors. The interiors look very similar to what the original game does. And by that, I mean a little bit dated. But they released a statement that said that they wanted to try and make it as accurate as possible to the original game. So I don't think it's like they're trying to high-res overhaul it or anything like that. But it looks good though. I mean, at least the sunlight in the environment looks really, that looks updated at least. So
that is ridiculous because as far as I know, that game has never been released in a form where you could easily go in and harvest assets from it.
Yeah. I don't, that is all beyond me. So I'm not sure how they're going about and doing that. But yeah, I mean, that definitely seems like a hefty undertaking, especially if it's a team of six.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah. I also don't know what the state of Grand Theft Auto 5 mods are or, what that engine is capable of. So I don't know if this statement is ridiculous. How are they going to put a horse in there?
Yeah.
Oh, there have to be horses in Grand Theft Auto 5, right?
No, there are not. No. There is wildlife, like
there's
you know,
Grand Theft Heifer.
Yeah. That I mean, that is pretty accurate to like cattle rustling and stuff.
Yeah.
No, there are bears and stuff. Like you can go hunting, but as far as I know, you can't saddle up and ride on a bear.
Yeah.
They didn't put that in the game.
What's that?
They didn't put it in the main quest, at least.
Right. Might be one of those. It's like when Bigfoot shows up. You can just hop on his. He gives you a piggyback ride or a biggieback ride.
Well,
also,
yeah,
Biggie Smalls is there.
Bigfoot's in Red Dead Redemption as well. So.
Oh yeah. There we go. At least we've got that started.
Action solved.
They drag that Trello card over to finished. Yeah. best of luck to them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Six people. That's nuts.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
I have no experience with game dev or like porting things between engines or whatever. Like how difficult is that to put it in a different engine?
It depends, I guess. I don't know if the two engines have like completely different like APIs or they're built completely differently. Like it's basically more like translation work than anything else, right? You have to link up different functions in different places, I guess.
Yeah.
But it's not like I select the font and move it from Arial to Comic Sans MS or whatever.
No. Red Dead Redemption specifically has been really kind of intransigent for porters. It is presumed specifically because they held the game together with bubblegum and bailing wire. That's why it's never been upported. Although I guess it'll run on the Xbox One as a 360 game. So that is less true. But that is why we never got a PC version.
Hmm.
Gotcha.
Is because of all of that amount. When I asked, like, hey, it's never been in a form where they could pull the assets over. What this makes it seem like is there are people who are going to be modeling John Marston and doing all of his animations again.
I hope not. Yeah. But yeah, that sounds so painstaking.
Yeah. It just basically, whatever path at least the artists took, they're going to have to walk that same path unless there's a way for them to really...
That sounds horrible.
Kind of really intensely pull down all of the textures and models and animation rigs and stuff like that. Like it's a real thing.
Well, and it's also one of those things where anyone can say they're doing anything, right?
Right.
Like, guys, I'm working on a 1/3 replica of the Eiffel Tower in my backyard.
Yeah. You are?
How far have you gotten?
Yeah. Well, it's in the beginning stages, mostly planning, but I'm working on it.
I just announced it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Who knows? I've got another story about an HD remake of sorts.
What you got?
Yeah. So the original StarCraft from 1998, I believe, or that may be the release of Brood Wars. Either way, Blizzard's kind of, I think, hugest real-time strategy game is getting remade. It's being called StarCraft Remastered, and they're taking all of the assets and uprising them to look real smooth in 4K. So if you go and like look at the website or look at comparison videos, it's actually kind of shocking the difference that it makes actually taking these 3D models and then outputting them again, the renders at this really high resolution. What's notable is they're not actually like taking this and saying, hey, we're going to release a StarCraft 1 campaign and StarCraft 2. No, they are. It's still a 2D-ass game. Like, they're doing the Donkey Kong Country trick of having sprites made up of, sprites made up of 3D renders and stuff like that. But they are just saying, hey, we're going to take this. We're going to, again, grab those assets, remastering the original audio. Throwing in a little bit of like mission briefing, like between mission comics, and then just putting it out there.
Yeah, that's super cool.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
I just watched the video showing like the comparison and the changes, and it's subtle. Like it definitely looks better, but it's one of those things where I think if you weren't familiar with the game, you were kind of watching at a distance, you wouldn't immediately be like, oh my god, like. Everything just has an extra layer of polish on it.
Yeah. It lacks kind of artifacts from bad upscaling.
Yes.
Taking that. So, You know, there's all kinds of stuff that if you try to take a low-res game like that and blow it up, it's going to get chunky as either monitors or your graphics card try and do the upscaling work there. It's working at a non-native res. There are all kinds of, again, like I said, artifacts that make it look blurry. Either that or if you blow it out, you show more information, but it's all real tiny. Like, it's actually, this evidences a great amount of care, at least it appears to me.
The thing awesome. I'm surprised by in the videos that they have the states as closely as they do. Like, they must be, like, rendering the same game in two different ways.
Yeah, I was actually looking at that as well, because they have, like, sliders on their official page where you can drag them back and forth and see, and it's very close. They must have like recorded a game, and then by which I mean like unit state and stuff like that, and then just redid them. There are small differences, but it's not that huge.
Yeah.
I don't know. StarCraft seems like the kind of game that you could not re-release at all without people being upset. But it, at least the visual approach, makes it look like they are doing good stuff to keep their hardest core fans happy. People who would never want any single thing to change about this whatsoever.
Yeah, I have to imagine like competitive stuff is going to stay in the old version.
Maybe. I don't know. Like,
oh yeah, I mean, I say that because like these are the kind of people who like track their clicks per minute.
Yeah.
I imagine that has to be some level of pixel perfect precision that if they, you know, if you change something from slightly blocky to more smoothed out, it's going to mess up someone's click pattern.
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. So, yeah, there are people that you're never going to keep happy. But I wonder if because Blizzard might, you know, Blizzard runs a lot of the stuff themselves. At least they do with some of the more recent games. I wonder if they're going to try and roll this up and make this version, you know, the canonical one, maybe. I don't know.
We'll see.
I have no insight into that. But yeah, this is great. Jala?
Oh,
sorry.
Nothing much.
Oh, sorry.
But we can segue over into mine, which is also about an updated version of a game.
Jesus, we did not do this intentionally.
No,
wow.
We didn't, but... So there's a new Shin Megami Tensei coming out to the 3DS in Japan this fall, but no info is out yet as to the release date elsewhere. Mm-hmm. It is called Shin Megami Tensei Deep Strange Journey, and is actually an updated version of Strange Journey, which was released on DS back in 2009 with a few new perks, which include a new character named Alex, a new ending, new artwork, and more. Whatever the fuck that means.
Yeah.
So, the trailer made me laugh because there's a lot of random individual kanji buzzwords with like a tiny, tiny little bit of gameplay shown at the very end.
That's really funny.
Like, okay. There's lots of glowing eyes. I get that much. Like, I've never played SMT at all, so like I don't even know what it's like. But anyway, there's also no confirmation on whether the SMT Switch game is planning on coming to the West either at this point, but they are planning a Switch game for it. So, yeah.
Nice. Yeah, that would, I mean, I'm going to gush about the Switch when we get there, but that would be a good fit for it. Yeah, so Strange Journey is actually, that one has always been a little bit kind of tempting to me, because that is... I believe an update. I could be talking out of my ass. Oh God, am I? No, it should. I think it's an update to Etrian Odyssey. Not an update, but it's like a version of that, like a first-person dungeon crawl, like super crunchy, draw your own map thing.
Don't know.
Yeah.
Don't know. But this is an updated version. If it is, so.
Yeah. Let me look here, because that's gonna drive me nuts if I don't. It's also supposed to be semi-futuristic. Yeah, I think that I'm totally thinking of a different game. Well, shit.
Sounded good. You had me.
Yeah, it's probably something different. If I'm right, I don't know. There's so many games in that series, and I know that people are going nuts because of because Persona 5 is coming out here pretty soon. By which I mean it might already be out. I don't know. People in our community specifically, like a ton of them run the Mega 10 marathon where they do the bomb side chat approach to Shin Megami Tensei. Like,
yep.
It's a thing that people around me are excited about in a way that makes me feel like I should be excited about it. But outside of playing a little bit of Persona 4 and, you know, quite enjoying it, that is that you know, I really haven't looked into these weird spinoffs.
Well, see, and it's because of that particular sect of our community that I decided to go with that article.
Pandering.
So there you go. Yeah. Bam. Well, you know, I mean, that's something that they're interested in. They should hear about it, you know? I mean, they probably already know, but whatever. Yeah, everybody else should hear about it, too. The end. Also, Megaton Marathon is a thing, and you should go listen to that if you like these games. There.
Yeah. They're nice people from our community.
Yep.
Dennis, do you have a story about a remake?
I'm going to shoehorn this into being an update so I can feel included. which it kind of, you know, this is pretty legitimate. Warframe has released a new character, which I just find fascinating. Not just the fact that they've released the new character, but I find the character fascinating. You know, they do this all the time. You get new Warframes, which are your kind of rigs that you're battling with. And they're very creative. Like, there's a very wide spread of different Warframes. They all have different abilities. This one is called Octavia, and she is essentially Lucio in Warframe. Lucio being the Overwatch character, essentially she uses sound to battle. And it actually incorporates not just rhythm into the gameplay, which we'll talk about, but it also incorporates a synthesizer into her rig. So when you get this Warframe, you are able to design the music that she plays, which I find just freaking awesome. Like, this is so cool. So you like open up this synthesizer, sequencer, whatever you want to call it, and like plot out the notes and the beats and everything. And then as you're using your abilities in the game, that stuff plays out. And then for certain abilities, if you do certain things to the beats, you get bonuses. So for one of the abilities, if you jump to the beat, you gain speed. If you crouch to the beat, you gain stealth. And then if you like shoot your weapon to the beat, you gain firepower, et cetera, et cetera. So it's just a really interesting and weird step left from what they've done before. Especially considering that you're able to create your own music in game. But this has me wondering why you're not able to do this with Lucio. This is kind of like, this is what everyone really wants when they play Lucio in Overwatch, is because, you know, Lucio has the two different music states and it kind of plays a generic string of music to represent each one, but you have no control over that. I want this full blown sequencer in Overwatch, and I want to design my own Lucio beats. Yeah. Or maybe I just need to get back into Warframe and do this with Octavia, so that I can show off my mad style while I'm battling.
So the article says Octavia's abilities are powered by the Mandacord, a formidable tool used to mix melody, bass, and percussion. These are all capitalized into a harmony of destruction. The developer said,
"Tell me that melody, bass, and rhythm are acronyms."
You've heard of DPS? Man. Well, welcome to my MBR. the developer for this, Digital Extremes, is, I just love them so much because they are the epitome of a game studio just working on whatever the hell they feel like working on. Like, you know, just all the systems in their game, like the lore of their universe. You can play their game without ever touching the lore, even remotely. But there is so much love and care and depth invested into it just because the people working on the game thought it was cool and felt like putting that in there. And I guarantee you this was that kind of passion project where someone's like, I don't know, I'm playing around with GarageBand or whatever. Like, this would be fun to put in a character. Let's do it. And they just kind of, you know, they go for it. So, that kind of creative freedom and that kind of creative passion is really cool to see in a studio.
Yeah.
And hopefully it pans out. I haven't talked to my standard Warframe cadre about how she plays. I'm not sure even when she releases. So, I'll have to check back in with how it actually plays out. But the concept is, you know, really cool.
Yeah, that's pretty great. I love the idea of rhythm-based play being put in there. It's like rig of the Mecromancer.
Nope,
Mecro Dancer. Yeah, rig of the Mecro Dancer. There we go. Yeah.
Nailed it.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you for your encouragement, Dragon. You almost got this, buddy.
So close, so close. You know what? We'll count.
Yeah. But you just know, any game that allows you to make a level is going to have you, you know, the first thing that it's going to be flooded with is Mario 1-1, right?
Oh, yeah. You're going to have boop, 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 boop.
Yeah, yeah.
Over and over again.
People are going to be going for. Yeah, but that is pretty cool. I love the idea of working rhythm-based stuff into an action game that did not have that at all before.
Yeah.
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 Because why not?
Yeah, just throw it in. Fuck it.
So when do you predict they're going to make a remake of it?
I don't know, but I will be the first to tell you when they do.
Yeah.
God, right. I mean, they just announced Destiny 2, so anything is possible. I don't think we'll ever get a Warframe 2. Like I said, this developer is just too in love with their own work, and not in a derogatory way, in a good way. But they're just having too much fun with their base platform. I don't think they will ever feel the need to go off and, you know, create a new one from scratch.
Here are the steps my mind took from today being kind of an okay day to it being the most horrifying day of my life, which are, Ben, you said, when are they going to remake Warframe? I thought to myself, well, they don't really remake MMOs. They just kind of add on to it. And then I went to, oh, God, what if Blizzard just remade World of Warcraft? And I just immediately got the worst kind of chills. I feel like I hope that I didn't accidentally secret that into existence. Uh-huh. But there's no saying. I'm sorry.
Did they kind of do that with Cataclysm though? Wasn't that like a total rework of levels 1 to 20?
It was kind of a revamp of that stuff. I guess you're right. I don't know.
I've literally played the game once, so
yeah. We had that. As good as mine. You had that roommate who was legit addicted to it in college, right?
Legit addicted and thrill. No. I think his name was Chris.
Yeah.
He threatened to kill every single one of us if we ever interrupted his internet connection while playing.
Jesus.
Yeah, and the look on his face made me not want to ask that. Ben, I didn't want to draw you into this shit.
So sorry.
Yeah, that's so I'm sorry to anybody I might have hurt with that, by secreting that.
Multiplayer.
Now it is time for the multiplayer, where we ask you a question and you answer it. Jala, you put the question up. What is the question that Michael P. had us ask the nice people?
Well, I figured this was kind of appropriate because a new Jumanji movie was announced, and it's about being trapped in a video game.
There we go. Okay, so, no.
Wait, being trapped in a what? I'm sorry?
Video game. Oh. In a video game. So, the multiplayer for this week.
Are you for serious? Like, the new Jumanji is what if Jumanji was a video game?
It's like a...
I just read an article about it. So anyway, can I just tell the people about the question
now? It's like
now?
Captain N.
Let's talk about Jumanji for the rest of the podcast.
God, those manatee plants that would spit poison, those freaked me out.
Oh, yeah. Jumanji was terrifying.
Okay, do I have to come and threaten everybody about...
Okay. We'll save Jumanji for the after show.
So you are trapped in the last game world you played in, and if you lose, you die for real. What game is it, and which two players, people, not characters, would you choose to keep you alive?
Yeah, that is a good question, specifically because it forces people to think what the last game they played was.
Yeah.
Let's see. So Brian writes, The Binding of Isaac Rebirth. And then he says, honestly, I'd rather just die. Yeah, it's a lot of shit and blood. And not necessarily in that order.
Choose whoever you think would put you out of your misery the fastest.
Can my two friends be a bullet and a gun? Ben, what does Graham say?
Graham says, Steven Sausage Roll, good vote. Honestly, I think I'd be okay. It just comes down to a matter of time. The only way to put myself in lethal harm is to ride a sausage into the water. And even then, I could just use the rewind time feature to get myself out of harm's way. Yep. It'd be pretty peaceful, though.
They say drowning in sausage is the most peaceful way to go.
Well, not that part. Just the hanging out and walking on top of a sausage would be nice.
Yeah, although it is pretty upsetting that there are just open grills as the floor.
Yeah. Honestly, yeah, well, you could probably solve all the puzzles if you were like a human there, because you could just turn the sausages yourself. You wouldn't need a complicated puzzle system, you know?
Jala, as the person who as the person who put this question forward, I'm going to ask you to make the call. Do you adhere to the rules of that particular game when you're stuck in its world?
I would say yes, because if you've got people playing for you to get you out, mm-hmm. then yes, I would say that you would be stuck in the rule system. But I didn't actually make the question, so I don't know. Michael might think something totally different.
Yeah.
But that's how I interpreted it. And okay. of course, the fun thing about these types of questions is that if they're not, you know, a very basic thing, everybody interprets them differently. And some of the replies are just like that, where people are just taking it in a different way. So it's fun.
Yeah. Let's see, Dennis, what does Sam say?
Sam says, the last game I played is Brigador, so I'm probably completely fucked. I'd choose Evan and Wegraf from Duckfeed Slack, so I'd have a chance of not exploding. I believe Brigador got played on Duckspring.
I think it was the first game that was loaded up. That was Evan who played that. It was a completely baffling nightmare, no matter how much. He explained it very well, but just I had a vision of the game in my head as he was explaining the rules for it, but as I was looking at the screen, none of it added up. It was like it was an android in Westworld or something. This doesn't That's look funny. Like anything to me. But yeah, Brigador is a baffling nightmare, and yeah, you're gonna explode. That's also like there's a ton of really disturbing fiction in that too. Like you have to pay money to unlock the terms of the contract that you and your family are bound to.
Oh God!
Yeah, it's a little much. Mm-hmm. Jala, what does Greg say?
Greg says, the last real game I've played, which wasn't a multiplayer-based game, was Resident Evil 6. And due to their love of the game and experience in playing it and knowing what they are doing, I would pick Jala and Cole. Also, because I really suck at the game, and I think I'd have the best chance of getting out without being dead, crippled, infected, or losing my sanity.
Yeah.
He played it with me, by the way. So. Yeah. Surprise, everybody!
So you passed your secret audition, is what I'm hearing.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. But it's not a 3-player game, so would I end up being like Javo or whatever the nemesis is in that game? I don't.
So I think he's trapped in the game, and you guys are the two players playing it.
Oh, yeah. Okay. There we go. Yeah. All right.
That's how that is.
Mm-hmm. Classic Jumanji situation.
Yeah, that makes sense. Classic Jumanji. Yep, it's a classic Jumanji. Seen it a million times. Tim writes, the only thing that I've been playing lately is Breath of the Wild. As empowering as it would be to just run around climbing up mountains and jumping off of them all day, I would be perfectly fine for Jala to just hang out in Kakariko Village and have me munch on fortified pumpkins and swift carrots. Either that or pick whoever has the current speedrun record for that game just to get me out of that terrifying world.
Yeah, see the thing about that, Kirby, is that it's cool and all, and I totes go eat some food, but like bird gotta fly, fish gotta swim, Jala gotta go. Bye. Like, no, I'd be out there somewhere, and the problem with an open world game and me, I would never finish it. Yep. I would just wander around. So that would be horrible for you. Don't have me do it.
You just laid out two extremes.
Yeah.
Ben, what does Brandon say?
Brandon says, I suppose mine would be Terraria. I just got back from vacation and it's a good playing game. Didn't know about staying alive, but I'd take my son because he would like giant bunnies and maybe Deborah to keep an eye out for the eye.
Deborah! I was going to say, like, are you just like naming your wife or something? But then I remembered that joke.
Yeah. That was the title of an episode.
Yeah, I know. It took me a while. Yeah. Man, I should probably play Terraria at some point. Yeah, I just have to cut bait.
Yeah, I was going to say, it falls into that kind of, like, I couldn't tell you what was different about Terraria and Starbound, except for, like, I own Starbound and I don't own Terraria. So, like,
that's the thing. Oh, I thought you were saying that from experience. Okay, people who have played both, if I've played a shitload of Starbound, do I need to touch Terraria? I'll wait for your answer.
I'll take my answer off air.
Yeah. Goodbye. No.
Cole hung up. It's kind of weird.
Let's see. Dennis, is this you?
I believe it's me. Yeah.
Yeah. Does Roop say?
Yeah, Roop says, Alienation, my wife and her twin sister. They have a talent for twin stick shooters, so their experience with endless hordes would be a lifesaver.
I don't know what this game is.
Twins who have a talent for twin stick shooters. Wow.
Way to play into the stereotype.
They've been fighting that for years. This looks a little bit like, what's that, Dead Nation? Dennis, the game you made us play. Yeah, yeah. Like the game that we played when we were over at your house. It's like a futuristic, top down, dark and moody 3D twin stick shooter.
Zombie shooter. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm always a fan of those. Nice. Like a Helldivers.
Oh yeah. I thought you made something up.
Did you? I forget if we talked about it on the show, but I saw someone talking about the latest party game to play is you say, this year I played, and then you give like a title colon subtitle. Mm-hmm. And the next person has to say, okay, this year I played, and they start with the subtitle as the main title, and then colon a different subtitle. And the first person to accidentally name an actual game loses.
Huh. Okay, but every other person would just be saying blank Origins.
Yeah.
So it's just Origins and Rising all the way down.
This year I played Origins Rising.
Oh, man.
This year I played Rising, Dawn of the Treaders. This year I played Dawn of the Treaders.
Was that a deep cut Narnia ref?
No, I have no idea what I'm talking about. About.
Yeah, of the Dawn Treaders. Yeah.
Yeah, so subconsciously, yes. It was that much of a deep cut.
Yeah. Jala, what does Ollie say?
Ollie says, the last game I played was Tomb Raider, and I'd pick my brother Vincent and my friend TJ. Vincent is a doctor and has been on survivalist courses, so would come in handy. TJ is tall. Gotta be useful? Smiley.
Tall people keep tigers away.
I read this as a slam on Vincent. Like, Vincent is a doctor and has been.
Nice. He's a doctor who's passed his prime.
And TJ is so useful because he can get the stuff on the top shelf without getting a stepladder.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. TJ stands for tall gent. Yeah. Let's see. Yeah, Tomb Raider would suck. It would suck to be stuck in that game.
Yeah, lots of crowbars in places where crowbars aren't supposed to be. Sorry, that came across as weird.
No, you just mean through somebody's abdomen. Yeah.
Yes.
I was even just thinking about the 1996 one because I'm traumatized.
Oh yeah, yeah, you played that recently.
Yeah. Lots of darts and blades. Let's see. Jason writes. Well, I was just playing Horizon Zero Dawn. First, I'd have to bring my mother because I'm sensitive and wouldn't want to be shunned by society for being a motherless heathen. Other than that, probably Phil because he claims that he can take down anything with a baseball bat. And I'm sure we could easily craft him one. Yeah, just do the natural.
You beat into the game with your mother, and it's like main quest: discover who. There she is. Okay, nope, you're good. Cinematic ending. Cinematic. Here we go. Okay, good. Congratulations, I guess.
Cheat code.
Yeah. Aren't mothers' life's cheat codes? That makes no sense.
That makes absolutely no sense whatsoever. Ben, what does Russell say?
Russell says, I guess I'm a 0-1 creature with no abilities in Hearthstone, so I'm probably safe.
And and Dennis, you made him a Hearthstone card, right?
Yeah, it's surprisingly easy to do. So there you go. He is a 0-1 creature with no abilities. And the card text is a generally cool dude, probably safe.
And he just goes down just like
but
immediately.
You're not safe, dog. Oh, yeah. Maelstrom portals, the daggers from rogues, like Shiv. Oh, you are vulnerable, my friend. You don't even have stealth.
I'm thinking about just editing that out.
It's already effectively white noise for everyone listening.
Yeah. I'm sure it was for somebody. So I was about to say, like, just that this is a card that would go down immediately, but I'm sure a 0/1 creature in Hearthstone probably has some kind of crazy advantage when paired up with some other kind of with some other kind of card in your deck.
I'm sure.
Yeah.
That Darkshire Librarian synergy. Oh, no, not Librarian. What is it? Darkshire. Damn it. I'm going to have to look this up. Hold on.
Darkshire Lexicographer, Darkshire Archivist.
You're so close.
Darkshire Scholar.
Both exist.
Darkshire Doctor, Darkshire Researcher.
Steward of Darkshire.
Okay.
Damn it. So close. Anyway, yeah.
Dennis, what does Chase say?
Chase says, Dark Souls 3. Can I pick Lobos Jr. twice?
Chase, you stole my answer for all of that. Let's do Lobos for PvE and then Jeremy for PvP.
There you go. Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't want Jeremy for PvP because then everyone will hate you.
I mean, people already don't like me that much.
I like you.
Thank you. Jala, what does Michael say?
Michael, the one who asked the question, says, Mass Effect 3, I'd pick any two guys from famous Call of Duty team Luminosity. Those guys are great at stopping and or popping. Their twitchy might well compensate for my poor aim and suicidal aggression.
Just play as a Vanguard, man. Like, you just covered both of those things. Roll up as a Vanguard. You're fine. Next question.
the Call of Duty Luminosity team, the way he describes it makes it sound like a dance team.
Yeah, this is our hip-hop dance troupe.
Yeah.
And speak of the devil, here's Jeremy. Dark Souls 3, and my picks are pretty obvious. Cole and Gary. Humor and lore explanation while I get killed over and over? Yes, please. Yeah, that would be, to listen to us for your entire lifetime just cracking wise about the shit that is taking you down. Oh, I'm sorry, man.
I would say that how much do you guys actually crack wise while you're playing the game?
I mean, never. I'm mostly just sitting there with a blank faced expression. It's not but just over each other. I'm sure that if events ever conspired for us to, like, you know, co-op or just have somebody like sit in on a stream and just comment over it, it would end up working out just fine.
If you knew you were playing as Jeremy, or I think you were listed earlier as well for Resident Evil 6, would you play differently? I feel like you'd have to.
Yeah, I'd probably. It depends. Okay, Jala, as you know, you didn't write this question, but I'm going to you for rules judgments. Do the players feel pain?
It's a video game, so no.
Okay, then no.
If it's programmed in the game.
Why do I feel pain?
It's Metal Gear Solid and you have a stress meter.
Oh, jeez. But then Jack comes out. Yeah, so we're not going to have enough time for all of these. Let's go through one more time. Ben, what does Jonathan say?
Jonathan says, well, this is uncomfortable. I pick my gaming buddies playing Ghost Recon Wildlands, except at one stage they hopped on a chopper and left me behind, so I shot them down. We might have to build our teamwork capabilities.
Do some trust falls.
Yeah. The lead-in of, well, this is uncomfortable, makes me think he played Leisure Shoot, that game last.
Leisure Shoot, okay.
Yeah, Leisure Shoot. Lawrence. Loser Shoot Lawrence.
Yeah. That guy.
Yeah. There's a new Ghost Recon game?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Huh. Well, I'll be fucked. let's see. Dennis, what does Thomas say?
Thomas says, the last game I played was Dark Souls 3 to prepare for the final DLC. If trapped in the land of Lothric, I'd certainly quickly expire or turn to one of those weird trees. Faced with such a possibility, I know of two people to summon to my side. Ouroboro and my girlfriend Jess. My intentions of dragging my non-game-playing girlfriend in such a place is clear. There's no one else I'd like to stand against the dying of the first flame with than her. Aww. Hopefully she's listening, man. You got to get credit for that. yet, with our lack of skill, we'd clearly last only a few minutes. This is where Ouroboro comes in. Not only would he handle the masses of Sullivan beasts and Aldrich poops, he'd also do it in style. Jude may run around naked, but we'd be sipping hot cocoa under the pale moon of Anor Londo in no time.
He'd freeze to death there.
Yeah, that begs the question, what's the most romantic place in Dark Souls? I think you guys talk a lot about the worst smelling.
we certainly do. I don't know, man. Irithyll, you know, maybe it's cold outside, beautiful view. Yeah.
That's not bad.
Yeah.
I'm racking my brain for something better, and that's up there.
Yeah.
You didn't sound very convinced, Dennis.
I was thinking like an ash lake, but that's a little just.
It's a little desolate. You know, yeah.
Yeah. Well, depends on how much you like your solitude.
Yeah. True. True. Jala, round us out with Jeremy.
Jeremy says Max Payne 3 and no one. Max Payne works alone.
you know what you stand for.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. Somebody already took mine. Chase took mine. Dark Souls 3. Let's get Lobos in there twice. Lobos and Jeremy. Let's see. Ben, how about you?
For my own, I played Horizon Zero Dawn last. So I guess there's cop-out answers of mom or speedrunner. but basically anyone who would finish it. So maybe I might pick Dennis. He's into the game. So I'll go with that.
Yeah,
even though
there
he's
going
to throw me. He's going to throw me on the challenge mode and have me die a bunch of times.
Yep. he's going to make you platinum that.
Yeah, but I won't feel pain, I guess, so that's fine.
Yeah.
I'm good with that.
Dennis, how about you?
Gosh, so I guess technically it was Hearthstone. That one's been taken. But the last game that I played on an actual like system last versus just my phone was Overwatch. And I would take any one of the duck feed people who play that game. We got a great group, so
yeah.
I feel like there would be more than enough, and I know if I pick one of them, I won't go into competitive mode where I'm actually under assault. I'll go into like a random custom game where people are playing golf with the various characters' abilities or some such nonsense. So
yeah. Is that a thing, really?
That literally on Duckspring, right before I started streaming, actually the team was playing golf by what were they doing? They were exploding D.Va up into the air using Junkrat's mine, and then D.Va could use her thrusters to try to knock herself down the course. So it was like a weird like team golf hybrid.
Huh.
Yeah.
So, something like that, I would actually go and load up Overwatch and go play it because I keep forgetting I have it.
Play with our group because they like my understanding is that they're doing custom games like that all the time. The one time I jumped in with everyone, they were doing Poke Battles, where it was a 6-on-6, all of it duck feed people, and people were just kind of hanging out on the map. And the person who was running the show would just randomly call out two names, and those people would battle to the death. And then everyone would just kind of watch them and applaud the winner, and then you continue on. So. It was, that way of playing Overwatch is just incredibly fun.
Yeah. Dennis, I know you said team golf, but it sounded like teen golf.
Oh, yes, of course. Yeah. Well, D.Va is technically a teen, I think.
Oh.
Maybe?
I don't know.
This is important.
And then Jala, round us out.
Well, the last thing I played was Torment Tides of Numenera, so I would pick Gary for sure because he's so into his CRPGs, and either you, Cole, or Chris Schley, because both of you have also played the Planescape Torment thing and, are rather into that. So there's not really a lose condition. There's just different paths.
Right.
So I'd live by default, but I mean, like, for best experience possible, see these people who are versed in the ways of this universe. So
yes. Yeah. Well, that's a good answer. It's funny. This was also kind of a miniature grind for us. Because we had to say what the last thing we played was.
That is true, yeah.
No, this is a fun question. Thank you, Michael, for suggesting it. Thank you, Jala, for picking it. Lots of hypotheticals and rules. I like hypotheticals and rules. If you would like to participate in these, go to facebook.com/thelevelpodcast and watch for them to go up on Tuesday afternoons. Thanks to either Jala or Dennis who put those out there. Thank you, everybody, for writing in.
The grind.
Now it is time for the grind, where we talk about the games we have been playing. I normally try and not go first, just out of deference to people.
Talk!
I will talk. So I'd like to talk about the Switch.
Yeah, please do.
Yeah.
Let me open up Twitter because I want to actually call out the fan who let me know they were in stock. But yeah, I was looking for them for a long time. Oh my gosh. Yes, his name is on Twitter. He is Jacob Proctor 3. Thank you so much for giving me that. It showed up. This thing is bigger than I expected it to be. I know I'm starting with like a mundane kind of deal. It's tough, right? Because, you know, I'm sure that there were dimensions that were put out, but you never know what that actually means, because usually it's like screen size dimension. And I don't know if you know about this, but different people's hands can be different sizes.
No.
I was shocked. I thought there was like, you know, one size fits all kind of thing. That's why babies look so ridiculous. No. So, you know, you look at these press pictures and I'm like, yeah, it looks kind of tiny. Like, that's fine. Like, you know, it's, you know, I'm fine with the size of the, PS Vita, which is definitely smaller than this. But no, it's pretty big. And it feels good in your hand. These Joy-Cons are really cool. So those are the little things that you snap into the side of the unit. That have the like the analog stick and the triggers and the buttons and stuff, and you can kind of snap those into a little frame to make it to make it into a controller. But here's my pro tip: throw that controller thing away. Just hold the two things in your hands, dummy. Sorry, I'm calling everybody dummies today.
Silly.
Yeah, you're so mean.
Yeah. But no, like, these are just like compact little things that you can just kind of hold. Something I love about the Wii U, or sorry, about the Wii, is that you can just kind of have this relaxed, kind of laid back posture, you know, holding on to the remote and the nunchuck. This is just like that, except without the cord in between, and the rumble feels really good, and the buttons feel pretty responsive and nice, and you can hold them sideways if you want. Like, I don't know, I'm really happy with the build quality of this thing overall. It's kind of eerie how magical it is to take that and pop into the dock and then just have it throw up onto the TV screen, you know. Like, the whole experience with it has been pretty good.
I heard that the transition time is really quick too.
Yeah. It really is. I tried it with Zelda a couple times. It was definitely, tail goes curly, tail goes straight kind of thing. I was like Homer Simpson, just kind of picking it up and putting it down. but yeah, I'm really pretty satisfied with it. I talked about the way the cartridges taste last week with my Zelda that I got ahead of time. So the game that I've been playing the most on it is Blaster Master Zero.
What?
Yeah. No, I've got I've got Zelda, and I've played a little bit of it, but I don't know that I've played enough of it to talk about. I can do some small generalities on it, but Blaster Master Zero, I did a brief story about it a little while back, I thought that it was a prequel. No, it's a straight up remake of the original Blaster Master, an expanded remake, but it is still like, you know, really pretty pixel art kind of thing. It's like, it's this weird indeterminate kind of thing. So do I need to explain Blaster Master to the assemble party? Jell, I know you've played it, but Dennis, Ben, you guys have not.
Nope. Go for explaining.
Yeah, so this is kind of a late era, or like a mid era, I suppose. It came out like 1990, I think. Platformer that was developed by Sunsoft for the NES. It's pretty interesting. So it's got kind of a Metroidvania kind of structure to it, right? You're in this big open world kind of, it's side scrolling for a major portion of it. And you play as a tiny little person, who can climb into a gigantic mech, and you do most of your platforming and most of your exploration in this tank kind of thing, right? And the gear that you get are these upgrades to your Sophia tank. Sophia is its name. So you have those two modes right there, being tiny and vulnerable, or being big and really powerful. You know, you have to kind of manage that. And also you can go into these kind of top down, let's say more exploration based commando kind of things, like a top down exploration based shooter kind of thing, where you're taking out enemies and avoiding spikes and traps and all this stuff, and fighting these gigantic bosses. On the NES, there were some of the biggest sprites I'd ever seen on a game, especially ones that would move around like that. This adds more bosses. I think there are some more areas, but it just feels and looks great. And they add more story in, which is a bit of a double-edged sword because, there's dialogue and your character talks to himself and you talk to some people and explains like, hey, this is what this area is and here's where you need to go next, like that kind of thing. But there is some of the usual kind of anime, you know, children's cartoon exposition kind of stuff that goes on with it as well, which I don't really want. Like, I just want it to be a story about trying to find your pet frog underground and finding a huge mech, you know, like that would be
that's the hero's journey, right?
Yeah, exactly. You reject the frog and then you embrace the frog. but yeah, like on the Switch, so I've mostly played it in portable mode. The screen on that thing is so good. It just like the pixel art on this really pops. I hope that they really nail whatever NES emulation they decide to do with it. Whenever they bring Virtual Console to it or SNES or whatever they do, because that screen is amazing. And I would love to just have these really crisp, bright games, to carry around with me, you know, my bag and stuff. But yeah, Blaster Master is really good. It feels very similar. Obviously they get rid of like the flicker and stuff like that. This isn't that faithful of a remake. They've just kind of taken it and made it look just a skosh prettier, a skosh more, consistent. But, kind of brought it forward. It's like $10. It's kind of a no-brainer.
Nice.
Yeah.
So you've played this for more than you've played Breath of the Wild?
Yes. So you're, Ben, I'm sorry. You got a little bit of blood coming out of your ears. I don't want you to ruin your headphones. I've been doing like assignment plan stuff over the weekend and getting ready for the show. I've not had like a very long uninterrupted stretch of time to really dig into Zelda. Like, this is something that I've just kind of wanted to play in short bursts in bed. So that is why I played a little bit more of it, you know.
Gotcha.
Than before. So I
judgment I, rescinded.
don't worry. The other game that I got and played just because I had some gift cards lying around was Bomberman R, or Super okay. Bomberman R, or whatever it is. Been a while since I played a Bomberman game. I loved them on the SNES. Still a Bomberman-ass bomber game. Bomberman game rather. And you are kind of running around in this grid-based map, putting down bombs, trying to kill enemies and find switches. There are little puzzle kind of things. There are cartoon-based stories that try and give personalities to the different colors of Bomberman.
Really?
Yeah. That's my law firm.
Real quick, for a second.
Oh, go ahead.
Can we play Dennis's game with Bomberman? Because mine's going to be Bomberman still bombing.
What? Play Dennis's game.
Oh, bombing.
Yeah, okay. Still bombing revolution.
Yeah.
Sorry, somebody go.
Can't think. Revolution, Tides of Numenera. Ah, shit.
That means the game's over.
That's game over. There we go. but yeah. Any questions about Bomberman? There's not too much to say. It is literally just Bomberman.
Bomberman's awesome.
Yeah. Cool. And then Zelda. Zelda's great. Believe everything you've heard about it. I'm still on the initial kind of plateau. Go ahead, Dennis.
Is it a 10 out of 10?
I don't know. I don't think about games that way. It's definitely fun and good. There's a lot of kind of Ubisoft DNA in it. It's like to the point where, you know, even on this plateau that I'm on, you know, I'm climbing up towers and like doing surveillance. It's kind of great. Like, you can look through this little tablet that you have and like place markers or waypoints on the distance. But yeah, it's amazing to just like be able to look over at a point of interest and then like walk your way over there and like sneak up on groups of enemies. Like, it is Far Cry AF.
Cool.
I visibly recoiled when you said it had Ubisoft DNA in it.
Yeah, it works for me in this, honestly, just because the world is colorful and at least so far it doesn't seem like there's a lot of cruft kind of put on top of it. But yeah, it's an open world and they generally you know, it is not kind of a beautiful void like the open world and like a and like an Ocarina of Time or Twilight Princess is, where it's mostly a big place where there might be a random encounter, and you're just kind of walking to a town at the far edge of the field. Like, the world itself is really dense. There are encampments, there are enemies that you have to deal with, there are small little shrines hidden away.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's kind of bizarre to play a Zelda game where you have control over the camera. Like, that is really weird. That's not something that happens, really. You know, on the Wii, you never really were able to do, like, a full, you know, 3D Metal Gear Solid 5 camera around your dude. Here, you can. And I think that that actually helps helps you keep your bearing, because you're not automatically just looking in the direction that you're running, which is pretty great. And this game is beautiful. It is fucking gorgeous. On both the handheld screen and on the TV, there are some comparisons. Like, it does it up-reses when you jump to the screen. I think it's like 900p or whatever, but they drop a little bit of like texture or fog into that in order to kind of offset it. Like, I don't notice an appreciable difference between the two of them. So, like, there's parity between them, and I'm sure that that's going to smooth out on other games as they you know, get that worked out, I think, and, you know, kind of get more comfortable with the hardware. But yeah, it is a beautifully art directed game so far, you know, that I've seen. Again, not played very much. I'm not off the initial plateau yet. But it plays and works really well. Like, you don't just have a sword, you pick up like sticks, you pick up like axes or clubs, and enemies drop stuff. I'm sure there's going to be like a master sword that you find, but right now it is really kind of improvisational the way that you deal with stuff.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
And the weapons break too, right? You have to constantly be getting new ones, or
yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Which so that means the combat is just like super brutal and raw, right?
It's a Disney cartoon.
You beat
man.
Someone down with a stick, and you're like, I'm not sure how to kill him. I guess I just wail him.
Yeah, it's like a board movie. Yeah.
Like The Last of Us, that level of brutality.
You have to craft a shiv on the fly. the master shiv. Yeah. No, and that's kind of all I can say about it. I haven't dug too deep into it, again, for the aforementioned reasons, but so far, big thumbs up. It makes a fantastic first impression.
Yay.
Yeah. Any questions about that?
When can I borrow your Switch?
Yes, you, that's a thing.
Yeah, that is the, you've already worked out a scheme though, right?
Yeah, that's true. I need to follow through on that one.
So we've just conceived a heist movie style plot where I am going to be racing Ben to get to the Switch first.
Also, this is Monaco now?
Yep.
Yeah.
My house isn't that hard to break into.
I'm going to dress up like a bird.
You're going to rob a Red Robin?
Mm-hmm. That Instagram account got real weird real fast. What's funny is he committed to it and actually ate birdseed. He's like, dog, you didn't have to do that.
Yep. I mean, that's the secret. Birdseed is just it's just seeds. I don't think it'll make you sick.
No, it's delicious and nutritious.
I mean, it's just most of the bird feed that I put out is just sunflower seed. Mm-hmm. I eat sunflower seeds all the time. Jala?
When are you going to post more birds? I'm waiting.
The weather has been really shitty, so I'm waiting for a good solid morning where I can set it out and amass another stockpile.
Okay.
Yeah.
This is acceptable.
Yeah, I've got a plan. I know. I felt the absence today. I was looking out, like, very upset that it was cloudy and rainy. Yeah.
Send you a picture of my bird then, and it will make you happy.
Do it.
Yeah.
But I'll
drop it in there.
That is everything that I have been playing of note. Something that I have done, and this is just more. This could have been banter, but I'll shunt it over. I have dipped my toe into the world of DS flashcards.
Okay.
So what this is, these are DS cards that you can put flash memory into, and those have fully independent developed homebrew games that people are developing and putting up for free, as opposed to ROMs. hypothetically, if I was a filthy criminal, I would download fan translations of games that never came here, so I could play them there. Things like, say, Mother 3, or things like, say, The Nameless Game, or Ace Investigator 2, Miles Edgeworth, any of those. Game Center CX. All of those are games that I could potentially play if I was willing to bend the law. And boy, is finding, ordering, getting one of those, and setting it up a fucking nightmare.
Really?
Yeah. Just even figuring out what version you have so you can download the right firmware. I ordered one from a site that was obviously Chinese because it had a big panda at the top of it. Immediately that night, like 3 hours later, I got a fraud alert call from my credit card company. Like, yeah, somebody charged $50 to this weird clothing store. Like, you're going to need to, so let's just shred the card. I mean, obviously first principles, bury it. And then dig that whole clod of dirt up, put it into a capsule that you can flow into the sun. And also, somebody is you now. So you're going to have to be somebody else. But I got the thing.
It's the pay it forward system.
Yep, it is musical identities. So yeah, that was a live and learn kind of situation. But I got it, and it is really cool, hypothetically, to be able to play these fan translations. You know, on native hardware. I love the DS Lite so much, and to have some life breathed back into it by playing these independently developed homebrew games and reading ebooks on it is a positive thing.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Yay.
I want to hear somebody else.
Yeah, I can hop in.
Go ahead.
So I've been playing all my old stuff. So Horizon Zero Dawn, still going. I ground away on some main quests, much to my own chagrin. Like I like that game world so much that I'm always looking for like what I can do just to inhabit the world without advancing the game. But I knuckled down and I did a bunch of main quest content, and they've got some good shit in the main quest lines. Like that's, you know, it was a lot of fun to play. And I was like, I finished off some stuff that I felt was like pretty major, like some big arcs came to conclusion. I was like, okay, so I'm probably like 70% of the way through the game, 42%. So
this is Horizon?
Yeah, this is Horizon Zero Dawn. So yeah, this game is big, and the plot lines are expansive. And I think even though I've probably explored 60 to 70% of the map, that I'm sure the story, even after I've fully discovered the map, will kind of weave back and forth across it, just by virtue of the percentage that I've actually completed. And keep in mind, I'm at 42%. Having done basically every side quest thing I have access to this point in the story. So this isn't just like, oh, it's only tracking your, you know, or you haven't done any side quest stuff. So even though you're way, way far through the main quest, you're only at 42%.
Right.
This is like, I've done everything that I can. Like I've explored this world so thoroughly up to the point I'm at.
Yeah.
And that's only 42%. So that's hugely exciting. Hearthstone, I've played, you know, all sorts of fun stuff. But the two new things that I've played are Starbound and a game called Endless Legend, which is my first ever 4X game.
Yeah.
So that's exciting stuff. I have never felt so dumb in my life.
Endless Legend, is that the medieval themed one? Because I know they have a space one as well.
No, so there's Endless Space. Endless Legend is like kind of a low fantasy,
okay,
version. So not quite medieval. And several of the factions actually tie into Endless Space, in that like you are a faction that like their spacecraft shipwrecked on this world. And they've kind of lost all their technology and are trying to get out. Or you are a Fallout-style race that went underground because of some kind of apocalypse, and you're just now coming out to rediscover it. So the world feels kind of very fantasy, but there are these sci-fi elements to it. But yeah, I mean, just this game is systems upon systems upon systems, which you know, normally I would say is completely my thing. But it is definitely I'm definitely in that phase where you just feel stupid and lost and like, you know, you are being so non-optimal in the way you're playing, but you cannot articulate why, because you just don't understand it well enough yet.
Yeah.
And in some ways it's very exciting to be at that place with the game. And in other ways it's, you know, it's kind of exhausting to just be like, man, there's so much going on I don't understand. But you know, high level it, oh, go ahead.
What's the flow of the game?
Yeah. So high level, it's kind of a RTS / turn-based strategy game. So you do everything in turns. In each turn, you can move your units so far, and your cities will kind of develop X amount of resources. You kind of have a finite number of decisions and actions you can take. Then you have to end your turn, and it kind of resolves everything. The enemies move, and you're back into your next turn. So a game plays out over, you know, call it like 300-ish turns. And there's you're on a hexagonal map where everything kind of ties to everything else. Each hexagon has a certain number of like resources attributed to it, and a large part of the game, especially when you start off, is choosing where to plant your first city, or where to plant new cities once you're ready to expand. Because you know, whatever you plant on, you get those resources plus the resources on this square or the hexagons immediately adjacent. So it is worth kind of a little bit of an investment of time in a region to explore it and find like the absolute best place to put your city, because you can only place one city per region.
It looks very similar to like Civilization.
Yes, so it is. Yeah. It is in the same vein as Civ, 100%.
Civ is a 4X game.
Yes. Which I didn't know. I always thought that was just like an RTS game, but
no, it's, I mean, it's turn-based. Like Civ is considered to be one of the earliest examples of it, actually, of the genre.
Yeah. So, I learned that, doing my research for, Endless Legend, but, some things that the game does really, really well is that it feels like there are many, many, many different paths to victory, which is becoming of a 4X game. And I think this fits with the Civ model a little bit, but you know, you can achieve your victory through scientific advancement. You can achieve your victory through military might, through diplomacy, through, you know, building great wonders. Like basically whatever you feel like doing, whatever you find the most interesting, run hard after that, and there will be a path to victory along those lines. Yeah. which I really, really appreciate, that it accommodates different play styles. Versus just kind of you have the stronger guys and smash in the weaker guys. Mm-hmm. That said, a weaker piece is the actual combat where your guys are smashing in each other. I think especially, so once you know, your units, your armies are represented by like a single unit on the board. And then when you run your army into another army, it goes into kind of a more detailed battle, you know, scene where you actually see the individual units of your army, you see the individual units of your opponent's army, and you do almost like a not Alpha Protocol style game, because the turns aren't playing out at the same time, but you are planning your turn at the same time as the opponent is locking in their turn, and then they kind of play out in sequence.
Okay.
Which is interesting. Well, no, I take that back. That's the way it happens when you're playing against a computer. I imagine if you're playing against an opponent, it is truly turn-based. So it's XCOM, essentially. You move with a unit, you shoot with a unit, and that's your turn. But it is way more rudimentary than XCOM. And just the controls are a little more clunky, which feels weird to say, because it's, you know, you're literally like clicking on squares. But, you know, you can generally... You know, it wasn't a focus when they give you the option at the start of every battle to just like straight up simulate. It'll be like, hey, you have a, you know, an 80% chance of winning. Do you just want to simulate the battle, or do you actually want to play out the battle? And you can just choose to like roll a dice on that 80% and see if you win or not. But if you play it out, it just does not feel as well thought through, and isn't nearly as satisfying as the combat that I've come to expect from turn-based games. So, yeah. You know, it's nothing compares to XCOM in my mind, so that's an unfair comparison to make. But
what about XCOM 2?
XCOM 2 compares to XCOM. I'll allow that. Nothing compares to the XCOM series. How about that?
There you go. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But there is, what I will say for the combat is there is an interesting bit of strategy in choosing how you engage the other armies. Because basically, if you can bait your enemy into attacking kind of a weaker set of units on their turn, your stronger units will show up as reinforcements during that battle. So you can still probably, you know, put a good dent in the combat, or into your opponent. And then you will still have your turn to attack them. And so there is an element that I do like of before the actual, like, playing out the battle, of positioning your units and kind of strategically baiting your opponent into attacking you in a way that's advantageous. So I appreciate that, and that part of it did work well. Let's see, what else? What about this game? there is so much customization in this game, it's mind-blowing, which I don't know if that's just standard for 4X games. Ben, you tell me if this is in Civilization. You can customize down to the footwear on individual soldiers in your
army.
Yeah.
Wow.
So it's intense. Again, I'm at the stage where that's completely lost on me. Maybe that is very valuable, but right now I'm just kind of tickled that it exists.
Is it like designing a sim?
Kind of. Like, you know, you will unlock different, you know, things to wear, essentially. Yeah. And you select your individual units, and you say what you want them outfitted with, and that all goes through. So you can, I mean, if you want to micromanage this, you can micromanage the hell out of it.
Do they, another question here. Do they, do the different pieces of equipment have different stats? Are you kind of equipping them with, you know, boots plus two, or is it just cosmetic?
No, it's all different stats.
Oh, wow.
And the game isn't actually great about telling you what each stat means. So it'll be like, this boot has vigilance. And you're like, great. You actually have to equip it, and then it tells you what it is. And then
Does it mean that you can attack and defend without tapping?
Maybe.
That's a magic thing. I don't know.
Oh, Ben, I'm proud of you. You made a magic reference.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's incredible the level of detail that you can get into if you want. I think ultimately for me, I don't know how much I'll continue with it. Like, it was really interesting to try a game in this genre. It's cool to feel like there's a world that expansive and that detailed for you to engage with. But at the end of the day, like, turn to turn, I wound up just kind of queuing up my actions. And you can do that. You can tell a city, hey, I want you to research A, then B, then C. And it will just automatically, over the turns, go through that research as fast as it can. And so as long as you're making sure you don't, like, run out of queue, you could queue up, you know, 50 different things in a row and never have to think about that city again. And each of those advancements feels very incremental or non-significant, whereas in XCOM, every time you unlocked a new ability or a new, base room or whatever, it felt just incredibly significant and impacted what you could do in a big way. And that's ultimately what I feel like Endless Legend is missing. And maybe the genre overall for me is, it's cool that I'm able to micromanage this, but why micromanage if you feel like it's ultimately not having a huge impact?
Hmm.
Yeah. But a beautiful, beautiful game world. And like I said, the combat does have interesting elements to it. I like that there's a lot of paths to victory. But it's no XCOM, so
yeah. Dance with the one that brought you.
Yeah, yeah. That's I feel bad because the Steam sale went on, and you could get like different badges that you could sell by just going through the queue of games. And like the recommended games for me were all turn-based strategy games, and I was like, "Look, dude, I get it. Like, I know why you're recommending these to me, but I'm taken." So this was an interesting experiment to try. Yeah. I dipped my toe very briefly back into Starbound, which is interesting that came up earlier in reference to Terraria. I haven't played it since beta, and man, it has evolved a lot since then.
I'm so scared to go back.
Yeah, like the core of the game is still there, which is nice. They've done a really cool thing where your like quick access menu, instead of having one thing per number key, there's two, and so you have two items bound to one. One is right click, one is left click.
Oh, wow.
And that effectively doubles the amount of things you're able to kind of have at your fingertips, which is really helpful, I found, just in terms of not having to dip into menus to get what you want. So I really appreciated that, like, quality of life upgrade. There's like a tutorial mission that kind of gives very high level story context for what you're doing that I don't remember being in the main game.
Right.
And then there's multiplayer, which is what I was trying to do with Graham Markison, who's the one who kind of convinced me to get back into this, which is great. And like, I typed in his name and invited him to my game and we could see each other in chat, but both of us were starting new characters and we're not on the same world. So there was really no way for us to interact. Technically I was playing at multiplayer, and I guess the universe is such that, you know, the stuff you do on your planet is persistent if other people visit it. But we effectively were just talking over Steam chat while playing the game.
That is so bad.
Yeah. Huh. I remember playing the beta that it did not take too long until you could get your ship able to jump between worlds. And at that point, basically, if you had the coordinates for a world, you could go to it. You just put it in. And so I imagine there would be a way to relatively quickly get the coordinates for the world I was on, send them to whoever I was playing with, and have them join me. But I did not get out to get I did not get to experience the multiplayer aspects of it the way I thought I was going to.
Yeah.
So I might come back to that.
Yeah, there might be something you can build, like a beacon or something like that. I'm just speculating at this point. I would hope
so. It seems like there should be. Yeah, it's one of those things where I'm sure a Google search would do wonders. But
yeah,
at that point we were just having fun clicking around in the world and talking to each other. So
yeah.
Nice low pressure situation was good.
Do your research in between and then come to the next mm-hmm. sesh with it. Yeah.
Yeah. But it seems like they've made a ton of quality of life changes, and the core loop there, while very Terraria-esque or Minecraft-esque, mm-hmm. Is satisfying. And I was able, at least at this point, to progress through it pretty quickly. Like I had most of the key items for my base built out, and it was now just a matter of kind of upgrading my equipment to be able to delve deeper.
Yeah.
So I felt like I was able to get established in the world I was on pretty quickly.
Nice.
Yeah. And that's me, I think.
Yeah, and that's full, like, they've launched it. This is a regular ass full release now, not beta.
Yeah, this is the real deal. You can play Starbound or Starbound Unstable build, which is where I think they're still continuing to test stuff out.
Okay,
but we played it safe. We were in vanilla.
Yeah, that makes a good deal of sense.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Cool. I want to hear, Jala, what you've been playing.
Okay, well, first off, co-op corner. In Guild Wars 2, we finished up the Cauticus Manor story dungeon, and next week we'll be moving on to the Twilight Arbor level 50 dungeon, which is further than our Duckfeed guild ever managed to get. So that's awesome! Woo! Yeah. And that is, the crew is Conrad, Sam, George, and Greg. After we did that, then we played Vermintide for a few rounds, and basically, since there were five of us and four slots, one of us sat out a game and then we would switch out. And then also on a different day, I played D&D Chronicles of Mystara with Greg and Jeremy. So also I played Resident Evil 6 Leon Chapter 1 with Greg at some other point, because Greg just happened to be on like all the times I was playing games and wanted to play with people. So
nice.
That's what happened.
Yeah.
Nothing much to say about all of those. Those are just things that occurred.
Which character did you play in Mystara?
I usually play the elf.
Okay.
I've always basically played the elf since forever. So, yeah. And I played the elf. also, I finished The Room, and I started and finished The Room 2. So now I'll only have The Room 3 to finish. I posted a few screenshots from my experiences in The Room and The Room 2. And guys, we've graduated from being a game about boxes that's called The Room to being a game about tables.
Nice.
And in the latter half of The Room 2, there is also a boat and some other little vignettes that look like they might be in a room, but there's like a whole bunch of black space between the little vignettes.
Okay.
But you can turn around in circles and they apparently are in a room. But you're still not trying to escape from the room. You're just solving puzzles that happen to be in the room on tables, and they are boxes.
You're unlocking mysteries.
Yes. And for some reason, there's a tentacle monster.
I'm sorry.
I don't know. At the end of the room too, like you go through some portal that has all these tentacles on it, and then you are there's like a cutscene which hasn't happened this whole time, and then like you burst out in some house and you run and you're screaming. Well, you're not screaming. You're just and running, and then like there is a tentacle monster bursting out of the house behind you, and the house collapses, and that's the end of the room too. And I was like, what the fuck was that? I don't even know what happened. So yeah, between that and Numenera with the sorrow, I am all tentacled up.
Oh no. Is the story in the Room series, is it explicitly Lovecraftian?
It is about a guy who is discovering the null element, and it somehow has unlocked this kind of quantum leap situation where he keeps on popping through to other places and can't figure out how to get back to his own time or whatever, I think. I don't know. Like, the story is extremely sparse. I would have probably liked it a lot better if they had added a little bit more story to it.
Okay.
But, I mean, like, you know, in the end, at the end of the day, like, you're just figuring out puzzles to get stuff to unlock, and that's pretty much what the game is. So I don't know. But anyway, yeah, like I don't know why there's a tentacle monster in the doorway that you get shunted through for some reason. But anyway, so I maybe the room 3 has answers for me. The room 2 didn't have any answers.
Yeah.
I don't know what's happening. The last thing that I've been playing is Torment: Tides of Numenera. I finally played a little bit more. I'm still bitter about the Orphan. I was about to shuffle off and spelunk into a ruin, which is one of the quests that I have to do. But then I remembered that I didn't go to the Fifth Eye, which is a pub. So I wandered in there and ended up hanging out in there for a long time. You remember O from Planescape Torment?
Yes.
O is back.
What?
O is in this tavern. So there's a lot of role-playing adventuring to be had in that tavern, so I just was there for a very long time. I tried to recruit some peeps for the Endless Battle, which is, you know, like the fight of the Changing God and his cast-offs.
Yeah, yeah.
And I ended up having to figure out who was a psychic projection slash not real, and now somehow I have a meme of power stuck in my head, and I've been recruited to fight psychic adversaries with a capital A inside the labyrinth of my mind alongside psychic people who apparently protect Sage's Cliffs from the adversaries without anybody knowing about it.
Oh, jeez.
So that happened when I walked into the bar.
I would have thought, hey, I ordered some wings. No, no.
Right, right.
Wait. I'm sorry. I have a question. So this universe has an equivalent of the Blood War.
Yeah.
Okay. Weird.
So there's apparently an adversary in the bar, but I haven't found it. So I'm guessing I have to do something special to make it appear. So I quit out right about there. The bartender has all of these ridiculous drinks that you can order for basically what seems to be no reason. So I'm pretty sure I have to drink one of the things that might kill me.
Do they all sound violent? They
do sound violent and horrible. It's kind of like what Robert said about alcohol in the inner world, where he's like, I'll drink this if I ever feel like dying. So, And the bartender will tell you, by the way, this could kill you. So, whatever. So, about the meme of power that's stuck in my head that I mentioned, I'm surprised nobody... I had a whole long string of random shit that got thrown into that sentence. But
yeah.
About that, this is a quote from the game. They're a weaponized meme. A thought that sticks in your head, a tune you can't get rid of, a saying that echoes in your mind until it drives you mad and melts your brain. And apparently this thing, like, destroyed an entire world. So that's in my head now. Yeah. And that's why. Hooray!
It's like a snow crash kind of thing.
Yeah. So as I continue playing through this game, I feel like the role playing aspects are generally deeper than those in the original game in Planescape Torment, which is to its credit because I like that type of stuff.
Yeah.
When I verbalize some of the things that end up happening or what I come across, it sounds really wacky. For the guys on the podcast with me, I sent you a link to a Twitter status update that just tells you some of the shit that happens in this game. And it sounds crazy as hell. Like, you should go click on that link and go look at it. And while you're doing that, I'll say, totally to its credit, I can have entire sessions that are 100% role-playing, and I can opt to fight things depending on what decisions I make. But, you know, I also have the choice of just role playing my way out of pretty much most things. And I like that because that is more thought provoking than just sitting there and hack and slash automatically from everything.
Yeah.
So, should I read some of the things that are on this Twitter string?
I see one here. Helped a robot have children.
Yes, that happened. I did that too. So yeah.
Oh, and then stole the robot's children to use as weapons.
Uh-huh.
Go ahead.
Yep. And so yeah, like, drunk actual jet fuel. let a corpse eating colt eat my still living and apparently delicious body. Waited for
Wait,
a bureaucrat
still living
so
and
long.
It's not a corpse.
Yeah.
Well, you kind of die and come back to and like reanimate, so it could be both at the same time.
You gave him one of your burners.
Yeah. Waited for a bureaucrat so long I got a debuff. Had an alien explain human reproduction to me. Died so many times my companions finally stopped taking my corpse away.
Yeah.
bought a drink from the memory of a dead man. Not thrown Eratus off a cliff, not because he doesn't deserve it, but because I'm convinced he would find a way to sprout wings and live. And Eratus is that really annoying guy that's just like, adventure!
Yeah.
Let a drone do previously untested surgery on me. Have promised a man a duel to the death, died in said duel. failed a quest because the quest giver's house fell into the ocean while I wasn't looking. That happened to me. Offered to join three people merged into one.
they were looking to complete. They wanted to play golf? I don't understand.
Oh, here you go. Willingly took a weaponized meme that can destroy the world into my mind. Yeah, I did that too.
God, so anyway, I need to play this game.
Yeah, there's like all different kinds of shit. Caught a falling skeleton inside a dead portal and took its equipment. Found the grave of Peter the Wonder Goth.
Oh, Peter! I love Peter.
Oh, he's great. Give us one more.
Yeah, squeezed a giant cyst until a creature came out.
I mean, that's just every day.
Of course, we end on that one.
How else are you going to get that creature out of that cyst?
So anyway,
my doctor
there.
Said I have a creature. So
what is that? Just a strange, out of context line?
Yes.
Okay. Pretty good.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. Let me see here. Is it throwing more combat at you than you feel like the game can adequately deliver on?
Oh, no. Like, once I go into the ruin, it'll probably have some more combat. But honestly, I haven't really had very many combat situations. And the ones that I have had, I've been able to deal with, and it's been fine.
Yeah.
Of course, that was before I had the orphan girl in my party who is just taking up a slot and is basically the item-using person.
Yeah.
So I don't know what the next battle is going to be like. Embittered, embittered, embittered.
Jeez.
So anyway,
yeah, what else have you been playing?
That's it.
Cool. Well, Ben, round us out.
All right, I got two. I got Horizon Zero Dawn. I'm still going through it. I got to Meridian, which is one of the things that I talked about with Dennis, I think, last week. The one thing I've noticed is the main quest keeps sending you in areas that you are not leveled for, which is kind of weird. Have you noticed that at all, Dennis?
I know, but then again, like I said, I've kind of been instinctually doing every single thing.
Yeah, you've been wandering all over.
it'll be like a level 12 like main quest or whatever, and it'll be in the middle of like a level 20 like region or something like that. So you just have to try really hard to run by all the monsters and like not get killed by them, and it works pretty well most of the time. But the world's pretty cool. The monsters are really cool. The robots, rather, are really cool.
No, humanity is the monster. That's always the case.
Yeah, I guess so. I don't know. I'm not as caught up in the lore in this game as much as maybe some other people are. I don't know. Like, there's, like, the tribal group, and then there's, like, the rest of the group. I don't know. I guess, like, for some reason, it's just not sticking with me that much. But, the game's still fun. I think I'm going to try and like a critical path Johnny it and beat it that way. The side missions are so I'm trying to do each of the side mission types once because it's like they have a bunch of mission types scattered throughout the land, and you can kind of do whatever you're most interested in. So there's like base attacks, or there's like hunting challenges, or not even sure what else. There's like towers to climb, but they're animals.
Advantage points.
Yeah, it's like a lot of your kind of staple stuff in an open world game. So I'm just trying to see what everything there is to offer. But I think I might try and rush through to the end of this game. But I don't.
You might
know.
Wind up beating it before me.
We'll see. We'll see who has more free time.
refuse to be raced to the end.
Yeah,
that's true.
I'll be meandering.
Gotcha. That's about it that I have for that game, at least. Are there any questions on that, or is that pretty well treaded ground?
No, I'm curious about the game. I just need to wait to find a hole in the game playing schedule, but there's so much on top of it.
I will. So in combat, have you found yourself switching through different weapon types a lot?
A little bit. The main thing is I have arrows and I have traps, and I haven't gotten anything else besides that. So typically what I do is I try and surprise the person. I have like the slowdown ability or whatever, because usually that's like usually the most powerful ability in any game. And you just shoot them a whole bunch of times, like either set them on fire or shoot them with the regular arrows. And then when they start charging you, just lay down traps in front of yourself, like really clumsily, and then hope that they get knocked over. And I have the one where you can you can like hit them and do the super attack if they're like stunned. So I usually try and do the stun wire and attack them. So that can usually take down most like lower to medium like minions or whatever. Bigger stuff, I basically just have to do that 3 or 4 times, and then that'll work. One thing that is cool, I figured out how to be able to override more of the creatures. I thought that's a cool mechanic. I don't want to give away too much, I guess, but that was cool. Yeah. So I think I might try and do more of those types of missions. So overall, decent game, in my opinion.
7.5.
Yeah. other game that I've been playing is Rocket League, but wait, they added a new game type to it. Have you guys heard about this?
Didn't you talk about it on the last level?
That's right. Yeah.
Have you guys your heard news story? and did you pay attention to me last week? I wasn't.
I don't pay attention to me, so yeah.
That was a big ass update too.
Yeah, it was pretty sizable. I think it's the end of the season, so they like operate on a season system where whatever like highest rank is throughout like the year, I guess, they'll give you awards at the end of it, and usually it's like customizable like upgrades. So I think they had toppers 1 year. This year was wheels. So based on the highest like rank that you had, it's either highest or what you ended on. You get wheels that like signify that. So that's fine. That's cool. But the thing that's really interesting, they had a new game mode called Drop Shot. And so the way it works is there's no goal, And on either side, it's like a hexagon grid, and it's your side's on one half, their side's on the other half. And the goal is to have you hit the ball and have it land on their side as much as possible. Because the first time it hits their side and you are the last person to touch it, it will highlight a hexagon on their side. The entire grid's made up of hexagons. If you hit a highlighted hexagon with the ball again, that tile will drop out, and then the ball will pass through that, but you can drive on top of it. So it's only the ball will go through it. And then one of the things that I don't think was mentioned in the article that we talked about the other week is the way they kind of make it interesting is the longer the ball hasn't hit an opposing person's side, the ball will kind of charge up as you hit it. So the more force that goes up against it, it'll be a solid ball. Think of something that looks like something like a GLaDOS head or like a Wheatley head from Portal.
Most of us are able to imagine what a ball looks like.
Yeah, sorry. All right, it's like it's a ball with a covering, a metallic covering, something like that. But after a few hits, that'll burst open. It'll be like glass, and you see like this kind of like energy charging inside of it. And if you keep hitting it after that, it'll like burst, and there's like this static that's like sparking out of it and touching the sides of the wall. And that kind of indicate how many hexagons it's going to hit or light up when it hits a ground. So with the first one with an enclosure, it'll just highlight the single hexagon that it hits. If it bursts open, it's just the glass, it'll hit the hexagon and the ring of hexagons around that. And if it's the huge burst, I think it'll do two or three rings around that. So it's like a huge like landing. And so the way it works is if you're the last person to hit it and it lands on your side, it doesn't do anything. But if you hit it on their side, that's when it starts highlighting things and taking things out. So basically, if it lands on your side, the goal, or if like the other team is like hit it towards your side, the goal is it's kind of like volleyball where you just need to hit it as soon as possible and like set it up or something. But you also have to kind of keep it away from the other people because if they start doing it, it'll do permanent damage on your side. The other thing that's kind of interesting from this is whenever you score a goal, your opposing side's floor will reset, but yours stays the same.
Okay.
So, like, it doesn't take away progress from the other team, which is something that I really like. Because, like, in the OG version of the game, like, say you, like, have three shots in a row on the goal and you're really close to scoring, but then they get a lucky shot off and they score a goal. It's like all that progress is kind of wasted and they just got lucky. Like, all that drive's wasted. But, like, here it's the opposite. Like, you build progress and you get to keep that progress. So it feels like it makes it a more competitive game. It feels like it keeps it closer together. So played this, I think, one day over the weekend, like Saturday. But it was definitely a lot of fun. The people that I typically play with, we played that for the majority of the time. Yeah. That said, once we played like at Sunday evening, when usually like most of the people go to bed and it's just the people who are more like hardcore about it.
Yeah.
It was somewhat frustrating. We got beat like pretty badly and it was just like a little bit frustrating because of like how badly we were being beat by people. It's only been out a week, so so I don't know if that will become a growing problem over time when the people who really like it keep playing it longer.
Just the gulf widens.
Yeah. Yeah.
Here's a question for you.
Sure.
If you hit it and it lands on your opponent's side, it highlights the first thing it touches. If it then continues to kind of roll and bounce without anyone else touching it, will it highlight more hexagons, so, or is it just the first thing it hits?
Yeah, so it needs to have some amount of impact to it. So if I just roll the ball onto their side, doesn't do anything. But if it bounces in any way, and if there's any sort of impact force, then it'll do the highlight. So one thing is, like, say if you chip it like pretty high or whatever, and it bounces, and then it hits the same spot again, like it could theoretically like bounce like three times and just fall straight through if no one gets to it quickly enough.
Oh, cool.
That said, it doesn't happen too often. Usually people are pretty good about hitting it, but
yeah.
Yeah. Then the other thing about it, too, is like it's a hexagon map or whatever, but on all the edges, it's curved, like how most of the maps in Rocket League are. So if it hits like the wall or if it hits any of those edges, it doesn't do anything. So a lot of times what'll happen, it's like the ball will be charged, but it'll kind of like go along that little curve or whatever, or slide along it or something. If they're doing it like sliding it off the wall, so it won't do anything. So then you have time to like hit it yourself to change colors so that it doesn't do any damage on your side, or kind of fly it back over towards them. So
yeah. Huh.
Yep.
Yeah, that sounds crazy. I don't know. I need to like look up a video of it. You're describing it very well, but like, I in my head, it's moving much slower than I'm sure it actually does.
it makes a lot more sense when you actually play it. Yeah, because I mean, I remember reading the article of it, but didn't really get what the appeal of it was or where the tension points were. But
yeah,
there's definitely a cool rhythm of having like the ball increase in volatility, mm-hmm. like the longer it goes between hitting sides.
Yeah.
So like it makes it more and more dire. Like, okay, we need to hit this immediately or else we're going to get like get ultra damage on our side.
Yeah. So. That's really cool.
Has it improved your aerial game for the main game?
I don't know. I've only played a couple of main games since playing it, but that is definitely one thing. Is it's a lot more aerials in that version, and that's one thing I forgot to mention. Is instead of like in the main game, you usually have to drive around to get boost. The way it works here is your boost automatically recharges, and it recharges faster the longer you haven't used it. So. So usually what you do, yeah, you'll do an aerial, hit it or something, but then you'll just like hang out and not boost while it builds back up quickly and then kind of circle out or something like that. So, yeah.
Cool.
Game's pretty sweet for being 2.5 years old or so.
Yeah. Given out for free.
Yeah.
Yeah. How many hours?
Oh, man, 456.
Okay. Let me know when you pass 500 because that's nuts.
Yeah.
I'm not judging. That's just that's an achievement. And
let's just say that I've left it on overnight a whole bunch of times, and let's just pretend that that's a really padded number.
You don't need to mitigate it that way. Don't there's no reason to feel bad.
I want to. I really want to.
Huh. Well, anything else about Drop Floor?
Nope.
Okie doke. That sounds like an episode. Do you all want to button it up?
Buttons.
Thank you so much for tuning in to level number 190. We really appreciate it. Let us see here in network news. Just a reminder, we're going to be in Milwaukee, or at least me and Gary, both of us will be there for the Midwest Gaming Classic. We're going to be doing a live show about Pilot Wings for the NES. That'll be a week after this episode comes out. We're going to be there the weekend of the 7th, 8th, and 9th, possibly doing our live show on Sunday. I believe that hasn't been locked down just yet. But looking forward to that. It's a new region for us. So if you listen to the level, come out and say hi. Let's see. For the show, leave us a rating or review iTunes. Sorry, I'm saying I'm trying to think of it. It's been a while since it's been a slow network news week. Ratings, reviews, Patreon. Go to duckfeed.tv/Patreon. That helps us out a great deal if you can give us a little bit. Speaking of giving, go to Jala's Twitter profile, which she will say at the very end. A spoiler, it's Jala-chan in places. It's just Jala-chan. The particular place is Twitter, to donate for her run to benefit. What is the name of the organization again?
Free the Captives.
Free the Captives, a charity mm-hmm. against working against sex slavery mm-hmm. and human trafficking. So go and do that. I think that's just about everything. So I have been Cole Ross at Cole Ross on Twitter.
I've been Dennis Furia at D Furia on Twitter.
I'm Jala-chan in places.
I'm Ben Merkel at Merkelizer on Twitter.
And stick around to hear us talk about some titles. Hit me with what you got.
I got a punch.
Yeah. Grand Theft Heifer.
Okay.
Biggie back, huh? H-E-I-F-F-E-R?
Yeah, there yes. we go. Okay. Good.
Biggie back ride.
Okay.
Rig of the Mecro Dancer.
Okay.
Origins : Rising.
I also have that.
Loser Shoot Lawrence.
Do you have it spelled L-A-U or L-A-W?
It doesn't matter to me.
Okay.
I have no emotional. It makes any difference. Okay.
Master Shiv.
Okay.
Rob a Reb Robin.
I didn't realize that was a tongue twister. Red Robin. Okay.
Musical identities.
Okay.
And then for the, like, I think the only time, like, all tentacled up because it's funny.
Yeah, that's
even
pretty good.
Even if I said it, sorry.
I like that one. Okay. Dennis, how about you?
Yeah, so I also had, my phone just went blank. I also had Grand Theft Heifer. I also had Biggieback Ride.
Okay.
And Rig of the Macro Dancer.
Okay.
I had Drowning in Sausage. I had Loser Shoot Lawrence.
Okay.
Reject the Frog.
What was that?
Reject the Frog.
No, well, when did we say that?
I'm forgetting, so.
It's probably about Blastmaster.
Oh, that was the Hero's Journey thing. Okay.
Oh, there you go. Yep.
Yeah.
The Master Shiv.
Okay.
And All Tentacled Up.
Wow.
We're on each other's wavelength, Jala.
Yeah. Okay, Ben, you're going to have to be something of... I've also got mine. Ben, what do you have?
All right, I got a longer one. Can my two friends be a bullet and a gun? I got classic Jumanji situation. I got a doctor and has been. I got also... The Master Shiv, okay. And then I also have Musical Identities.
All right. Let's see here. And Musical Identities. Okay. I have two. I feel shitty because they're both mine. Origin Rising, I had that one. And then I also had Tall Gent with a J. With the Gent spelled with a J.
I almost put that one, but then I was like, there's other ones that are funnier than that one.
Yeah, so. Yeah. So the one that has the most the most votes, the most entries is the Master Shiv. We're pretty spread out. I'll say the ones that have more than one entry here. Origin Rising, Grand Theft Heifer, Biggieback Ride, Rig of the Macro Dancer, Loser Shoot Lawrence, The Master Shiv, Musical Identities, and All Tentacled Up.
Can you put it out as a poll on the Slack?
Yeah, I can. Yeah.
Yeah.
Power to the people.
Are there any objections?
Nope. Do the thing.
Okay. Cool. So it is so moved.